Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to the Fantasy Football Feeding Frenzy. It's been a couple weeks. No, we were not canceled because we can't be canceled because I pay for this. So. Thank goodness for that. Odds are where you're at, it's pretty cold. The weather's gotten a little frosty here in central Ohio, and from what I understand, it is just about anywhere. But we have sizzling hot football takes for you tonight for my co-hosts, Walton Sperling, Todd Latsky, Wally, up Michigan way.
Hey, we are. I'd like to say we're all excited about the Lions playoff appearance this Saturday night, but I think dreading is a better word. And it is mighty chilly here as well. I just got home from driving, and my car tells me it's 15 degrees outside. I don't know what the wind chill is, but it's just cold.
Mr. Latsky, have you gone through the five stages of grief that such a promising season for the Minnesota Vikings went so very wrong so very quickly?
Well, you know, when you start 5-0 and people are saying, hey, they're the best team in the NFC and look out Super Bowl, here they come. And just like the weather up here and all the injuries that happened, it has gone downhill so quickly. We are now... We're hit about 30 below wind chill the past couple days. So that's just a little bit chilly. And it's been kind of a chilly offseason for the Vikings so far. A lot of questions are being asked. Who's going to retire? Who's going to stay? Who's going to go? It's going to be quite a troublesome offseason, I fear. So... the Vikings seem to have a long ways to go.
It's going to be an interesting offer. We're already seeing plenty of off seasons for, I mean, we've already had Black Monday was relatively calm this year because most teams did not wait to fire their coaches. Let me ask you this, Wally. I think we're all pretty much in agreement that the surprising opening in Denver would be the best available coaching job right now. I mean, if you're a head coach candidate and you can have any jobs out there, you're going to want Denver. But if you can't have Denver, Wally, which one of the teams right now searching for a head coach would most interest you?
I wish I was able to say at this point that it would be the Detroit Lions, but unfortunately they decided to bring Caldwell back.
Hey, two playoff trips in 3 years for the Buckeye Duval.
Yeah. He's already being compared to the coach of the Bengals around here just because how many years in a row did they go to the playoffs losing the first round? In Detroit, making the playoffs makes us happy, but you know, we don't look to go much farther, especially when you're going on a three-game losing streak. But I think a team that interests me, that I think would be most interesting, I like the Chargers job. You got Phillip Rivers. You got a good young tight end. You got a good young running back. You've got Keenan Allen can come back. I'm talking offensively. You've got a lot of weapons. Defensively, Bosa really came out once he started playing. We got the Tavis Brown there thing. So I kind of like the Chargers job, especially the way I think the West is going to be wide open. I know it's sad to see Carr not go to the playoffs with the Raiders. Nice to see them go, but I think the Chargers job to me is probably the next most.
You know, I can see that because they've got there's some other young pieces there. You know, you've got Melvin Ingram has quietly turned into a very nice pass rusher from the outside linebacker spot. The Casey Hayward signing at cornerback, I think so far as value for the amount of the contract, that might be the best signing of free agency in 2016. He's a top 10 corner in PFF, leads the NFL with seven interceptions. I mean, the numbers don't lie. It'd be interesting to see if he gets a little love from All-Pro, Pro Bowl, that sort of thing, and gets a little tap because I think he very much deserves it. Let me ask you this, Todd. Which job is the worst?
It's pretty easy to say San Fran. There's just trouble all across the board with that team. I don't know what they're doing at quarterback. It doesn't seem like the team has any heart. There's a lot of questions throughout the team on both offense and defense. I've been in that area for a number of years. I served in the Air Force out there at Travis Air Force Base. I love the area, so the area's got some perks. But that team itself, no thank you.
You know, I wonder about Buffalo, too, because maybe I'm crazy. I understand Tyrod Taylor is not a world beater at the quarterback position. I get that. But you could do worse. There are plenty of teams in the NFL that are doing worse right now, and yet the Bills apparently are just ready to move on and without really any kind of plan B. And I just – if I'm a coach candidate, it would make me leery. I'm wondering – I don't really understand what they're thinking at this point, but maybe that's just me. You know, we haven't been on for a little while, so we didn't really get a chance to do a fantasy wrap-up with back at season or whatever. Let me ask you, Wally, just real quick, who's your MVP for 2016?
Oh, I think I'm going to have to go with I'm going to go to the running back position here. I think you go with David Johnson. Not the year the Cardinals were hoping for, but these are nice back-to-back seasons for him. But you know, 1,200 yards rushing, 20 total touchdowns, over 840 yards receiving. I think you know, to me, those are enough. Those are MVP numbers.
100 plus total yards in every game but the last one, too, where he hurt his knee. Thankfully, that knee injury does not look to be serious. But let me ask you this, Todd. I was kind of hoping he'd say David Johnson. Nice segue setup. David Johnson had a lot of touches this year. He didn't have 370 carries, but he had over 370 carries plus receptions and a knee injury in the last weekend of the season. Is his big workload in 2016 a potential concern for 2017?
Well, you know, I looked at that, and I kind of hemmed and hawed as to what that's going to present for the future. Carson Palmer did not have a great year, and I think the Cardinals have definitely got to look at somehow protecting him better or getting a quarterback to relieve some of the pressure from David Johnson. Also, Larry Fitzgerald is not getting any younger. The question is whether he's going to be able to play much longer or if he just decides to retire. All that being said, I don't think David Johnson is going to have a letdown off of this season. I think, if anything, a few touches may help him out some, because the Cardinals may be more prolific on offense with better quarterback play, whether it be because the line is protecting Carson Palmer more or they get a quarterback who proves himself worthy of the job. Sometimes less does equal more. And in this situation, I think that could very well be the case with David Johnson.
Yeah, it's a long off season. I'll have plenty of time to ponder on it. But, I mean, you could say the same thing. Ezekiel Elliott had quite a workload this year, too, and is still playing, so he's still going to rack up even that many more carries. And he had 300-plus touches, I think, both of his last 2 years at Ohio State, granted in fewer games. So I don't know if that extrapolates out to 370 over 16 games. I don't really feel like doing math right now. So, but I don't know how many guys you can really put ahead of them is the thing I keep running into when I think about it. I think the big three running backs going into next year are probably David Johnson, Ezekiel Elliott, and Le'Veon Bell. Now, what order you want to put those guys in or whether you want to put a wide receiver ahead of them or whatever. But it feels like to me there's a drop-off after those three names in running back anymore. Go ahead.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of early predictions for next year, how the top 10, how the top 100, whatever, go. And you're exactly right. It is those three backs at 1, 2, and 3. I've seen kind of a flip-flop between the three as to who is going to be 1, 2, or 3. I think I've seen all three of them have all three positions. But, yes, there is a big drop-off. And we talked about it at the beginning part of the season when we were doing our forecast season and how we were going to draft all three to be that you still need to draft running back heavy. Receiver. If you take the result, you did fairly well in your league, and that's going to further some issue of those three going as the first three picks for next year.
Well, I know this year I won, let's see, two quote-unquote standard regular-type fantasy leagues. I won the Whale Shark 2 League at Fantasy Shark, and I ran one of the diehard, I won one of the diehard staff leagues. In one of those, I went wide receiver in the first round. I took Julio, I think, second overall. And in the other, I went running back in the first round. I took David Johnson. So I don't know. There's not really a right or wrong way to do it anymore. You can go either. You just need to hit on that first round pick. I didn't do a lot of it. In the league where I drafted Todd Gurley with my first round pick, I didn't do it. Probably because David Johnson had many, many more fantasy points. So. And plus, the Julio League, I was able to get Le'Veon Bell in the second round because of the suspension and whatnot. And my goal going in was, okay, Gary, you just got to survive these first few weeks and not get so far behind that you can't make it up. And luckily, in that league, one of the wild card spots is the highest scoring total points that isn't already in the playoffs. And that's how I got in, despite only going 7-6. And I was able to get hot in the playoffs. Thank you, Le'Veon and Julio. And win the championship. But we'll have months and months to discuss that. We'll have new rookies coming in. It's going to be a brand new year soon enough. But right now, especially if you're still doing fantasy playoff leagues or DFS, anything that could stretch out football season a little bit before that baseball nonsense starts, we've got four games this weekend. The first one is a titanic struggle, quite possibly the greatest quarterback showdown in the history of the National Football League. Connor Cook, Brock the Hammer Osweiler, Oakland Raiders, Houston Texans. How bad is this game going to be, Wally?
Oh, I think it's going to be very bad. I mean, that sounds like a preseason game matchup with those quarterbacks. And as I've often stated here, I'm a Michigan State Flappy, and I can't throw any love Connor Cook's way. I mean, the kid's been doing nothing for the entire year. He's basically the third stringer, and I was surprised he actually had his helmet to go into the game last week. He's never needed it, but that's not going to be good. The thing about this game is I think it could be over in an hour and 55 minutes because I see both teams throwing the ball about six times and just running it constantly. At least we'll get to see Khalil Mack.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Did you see that Cook admitted after the Denver game where the Raiders had 50 yards of total offense in the first half and scored 6 points for the entire game? He said that he admitted that there were plays that were called in during that game. He's out there, you know, playing live NFL football that counts. They're calling plays he's never run before in his life.
that's what we're in store for here. It's going to be it's easy to say it's going to be a defensive struggle because neither team has a quarterback. And I think being at home is going to help the Texans and their defense. Yeah, they could put 9 in the box. 10. I mean, Connor Cook, he has no idea the game speed that he's gonna face, and he can't get him ready in 1 week. So I like the Texans to win, but I don't like the game at all.
I like Houston, too. I just, you believe it or not, the Texans were 7-1 at home this year, for one thing.
Yeah.
And we just saw this movie, what, 5 or 6 weeks ago. They played in Mexico City. The Raiders won that game by 7. But that was with Derek Carr.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the difference to me is that the Texans are still who we thought they were. You know, they've got a good defense, number one in the NFL in total yardage. I think they're number two against the pass and like 10th or 12th against the run, something like that. But we know who they are. Good defense, no offense. Their quarterback sucks. the last time they played, the Raiders were a below-average defense, average if you want to be nice, and one of the better offenses in the NFL, and they won by 7. Now the Raiders are an average/below-average defense and an offense that's just as bad as Houston. And I just – I don't – for the Raiders to win this game, they need some like a big play from the defense, a pick six, or they need the defense to score points. Because the Texans will also have Lamar Miller back for this game. I think he had over 100 yards and a touchdown against the Raiders in Mexico City, and the Raiders are like 21st, 22nd against the run. So if I'm the Texans, they would be seeing a lot of Lamar Miller in that game. What do you think, Todd?
No, I actually agree. There is a buddy of mine I've been playing in for years. He does a huge, huge playoff league. It's only a $10 entry, but there's a lot of people who enter. And you draft a lot of players. Now, it's possible that you could have the same team because he's got like 4 columns and you draft 1 from every single role. And so you got 3 quarterbacks you're picking. You're picking 6 running backs, 7 or 8 wide receivers, 3 tight ends, 3 kickers. You get the idea. Anyway, for this particular game, the only person that I'm even considering drafting would be Lamar Miller, and because he's in my third row of running backs, and he's going up against Paul Perkins, James White, or Thomas Rawls. So that is the only possible player that I would draft from this game for either team. I think this game is just totally, totally ugly. People are going to – if you're doing a fantasy draft and if you are doing an auction type, I fear people are going to be paying a lot higher than they should for both Amari Cooper and Michael Crabtree because of their names, because they're going to be shut down hard against Houston. I don't see Oakland doing much of anything.
And even if there was, I mean, at least you can't say many good things about Tom Savage, okay? But you can at least give him credit for realizing that DeAndre Hopkins is on the field and trying to get him the football. And then he got hit in the head, and he's done. Brock Osweiler come back in, and I bet Hopkins was just, like, screaming like Luke in the Empire Strikes Back. No! It's going to be just an ugly – if that game winds up, like, 30-27, my jaw is going to be on the floor. Because I just – you've got terrible quarterback. Osweiler is dead last at Pro Football Focus by, like, every metric you can measure a quarterback by. And Connor Cook is a fourth-round rookie making his first-ever NFL start, who, like Wally said, he was getting no reps most of the season. He's the third string. He's not even the clipboard holder. He's the guy that holds the clipboard for the guy that holds the clipboard. And now he's starting a playoff game. And when I mentioned – I wrote an article about this not too long after – it might have been last Sunday, the day of the Denver game, just as the game was ending – and many Raiders fans were angry at me for saying that they were toast. And I just didn't understand. I'm like, is the Kool-Aid that good? And even if they, God help them if they would win, then that means probably the Patriots.
Mm-hmm.
And whoever wins this game is going to die a quick and painful death next week. I don't know if that death will be in Kansas City. I don't know, or if that death will be at Foxborough, but either way, they're dead. I just don't see a team on that side of the bracket that can go into Foxborough and beat the Patriots. I'm sorry, I just don't.
I agree.
I think that possible matchup between Pittsburgh and KC in the second round looms to be a very entertaining game. But
yeah,
I get that far first.
You would think Kansas City would want some payback because Pittsburgh, that was actually the week, it was either the week before that Miami game when Miami beat 2 weeks before that when Pittsburgh came out, I believe it was a Sunday night, and just shelled Kansas City. I mean, it was bad. Like the first play of the game, they went right at Marcus Peters and completed a long pass to Antonio Brown, and they didn't take their foot off the gas the rest of the game. Put up 40-plus, I think. I would say, you know, the Chiefs are generally, they're a little bit better defensively than that. I would think they'd be looking for a little bit of payback. That would be a good game. We're looking at a couple of potential really good 2-3 matchups. Pittsburgh, Kansas City, and Seattle, Atlanta would both be very good games. But for Seattle, to make it to the divisional round, first, they have to get past the juggernaut. That is the Detroit Lions. Unfortunately, the juggernaut is barreling in the wrong direction, but they do have a lot of momentum headed into the postseason. We all know that Mr. Spurlin, there is no truer Honolulu Bluer Lions fan than our boy Wally. So, Mr. Spurlin, what do the Lions have to do to win this football game?
To win this football game, you're teeing it up, but I hope that a flu bug hits Seattle sometime Friday, knocking out 13 to 14 starters and a couple of backups. Now, it's folks. I love my Lions in a bad way, but you know, they're backing into the playoffs, and then there's the Lions' 3-game losing streak, as I mentioned. Against playoff teams, they beat one team, I believe, all year with a winning record. That ended with a winning record.
Yes.
That was Washington.
Yes,
that was Washington. Who, who
8-7-1.
And were nice enough to let us into the playoffs by losing to a Giants team that had nothing to play for. Thank you very much. Yeah, it's just everything's trending in the wrong direction for the Lions. I mean, there's a couple of things that may help. It's that Swanson is practicing still, but he's got to be cleared from the protocol. I mean, that would definitely, the concussion protocol, that would definitely help the offensive line. People could go back to their natural position. But, again, still no running game, although the Seattle defense isn't as vaunted as it once was. We all know Earl Thomas. But it's just, I just see Jimmy Graham having a huge day because we don't have linebackers to really help out covering him. Our safeties aren't anything to write home about. DeAndre Levy's been back playing, but last week he played the most snaps he had to date, and that was 48, and he ended up with 3 tackles, I believe, 3 total tackles. So it's just, the offense is trending the wrong direction. I think Matthew Stafford's got a 76 passer rating in the last 3 games. So I just don't
think a lot of that's his finger.
Yeah, he says it's not, and he's doing. But it's, I think a lot of it's also the offensive line. I think by the time he's finishing his drop, he's already thinking which direction he's going to have to scramble instead of looking down. So, and unless we get some kind of miraculous Golden Tate revenge game, I just don't see him hanging in for 4 quarters. You know, their modus operandi the last few weeks has been stay pretty close in the first half, maybe even have a lead, but then. Like, this team never makes an adjustment. It's like other teams come out in the second half, okay, we need to do this to stop the Lions now. Lions come out, we're not going to change what we do, and they get stopped. And I see that happening again. I mean, it's so tough to win in Seattle. I know some teams have done it, but it's not going to be this team, not this week. But on the plus side, Amir Abdullah was in the locker room today. Didn't talk to anyone. He also didn't practice, but, you know, that's what we cling to here. There was an Amir Abdullah sighting. So that's the most exciting news we have here right now.
Come on, Todd. Tell him why he's wrong. Tell him why his Lions are going to emerge victorious this week.
Well, you know, I can remember a couple of very shocking upsets that have happened in the past in playoffs. One of which is including my Minnesota Vikings, in which they went to San Fran with an 8-7-1 record and beat the snot out of the 49ers and then won another game before losing at the very last second to go to the Super Bowl because Mr. Anthony Carter, yes, I'm going back through the ages, Anthony Carter decided to return some kicks for some touchdowns. I don't know if that's got the only way to go for the Lions to be able to win this game, but strange things have happened before. I'm not saying they're going to. I personally think the Lions are going to get their behind stomped. But it can happen. It has happened before. It will happen again. I think it's going to happen this week.
Bad Seattle shows up, which has happened a few times. I mean, we've seen that team come out and not be able to score a touchdown against the Rams. We saw that team not be able to come out and score a touchdown against the Buccaneers. The problem is those games were on the road. And at home, I can't imagine enough things going wrong for the Seahawks slash right for the Lions. You know, that Seattle pass rush is third or fourth in the league in sacks. And like Wally said, the Detroit O-line has struggled a little bit of late. Jimmy Graham is going to be a big matchup problem for the Lions. So, yeah, I take no pleasure in it, Wally, but, yeah, I think Seattle probably wins that one by double digits.
I cannot disagree. I'll watch.
Of course.
And then I'll pass out by the third quarter, but I'll start with a smile on my face and a song in my heart, and I'll stop with an empty mug in my hand and probably gum in my hair.
You can have IVs in each arm, one full of tequila, one full of rum?
Possibly, except if tequila's involved, only one of two things is going to happen. Either I start dancing or I start fighting, so I don't know if I can go that direction.
Okay, whatever happens, send us a video.
That'll go viral.
Yeah, and then if things go the way we are predicting, that would set up, like I said, Seattle Seahawks at Atlanta Falcons in the divisional round, which should be a very interesting game. Those two teams already played this year. In Seattle, it was a 2-point Seahawks win. Falcons fans are still salty because they think Julio Jones got interfered with by Richard Sherman.
Mm-hmm.
And there was no call because Julio Jones got interfered with by Richard Sherman, and there was no call. So, yeah, there are judgment calls, and there's like, no, that was pass interference.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, when he comes up with Julio's wallet, it's a pretty good idea that maybe he got a little handsy, but, you know, it didn't get called. So that's not why Seattle scored 9 unanswered points in the fourth quarter after the Falcons threw up 3 touchdowns in the third. You know, Richard Sherman didn't cause the Falcons to blow that lead. They did. And to me, that's the thing with Atlanta in the playoffs is how well that young defense can play. I mean, they're going to score some points. But if they can't stop anyone, I mean, you just don't want to get into a shootout with, like, Aaron Rodgers. It's not generally advisable. That's assuming that Green Bay were to advance. We will talk about them in a minute. There's still one more game before we get to that one, the Sunday nightcap. We have the early game on Sunday from what is supposed to be a very chilly Heinz Field, the Pittsburgh Steelers, and the surprising Miami Dolphins. Mr. Sperling, Jay Ajayi's first 200-yard game came in week 6 against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Helped propel the Dolphins to a surprising 30-15 win, which not only started Miami on, I think it was a 5-game winning streak, and they won 7 of 8. It also started Pittsburgh on a 4-game losing streak. Any chance we could see a repeat of that Sunday afternoon in Pittsburgh?
I don't think so. I think the Steelers, obviously, I think the defense, for one, is playing better now than it was at that point in the season. Obviously, I think they come in hot. And also, I think they're sour from what he was able to do to them the first time. That tape has been watched a lot. Do people still use the word tape? Film?
I do.
In my old school?
I call it.
All right, that's what I thought. There we go. But, yeah, I think Pittsburgh got not only revenge on their mind, they've also got, you know, the big three, I believe, playing together. Is this the first time they've all three played together in a playoff game? One of them's always been hurt.
Yeah.
With Roethlisberger, Bell, and Brown. And you touched on it earlier. That Miami defense is not going to be able to contain the Pittsburgh offense. But I also think that the Pittsburgh defense is going to have an extra chip on their shoulder that they were gouged so badly the first time. You know, you're going to have more at quarterback. I mean, he's played well. I don't think it'd be any different if it was Tannehill in there. But I like the Steelers to pull away in the second half in this one. I think Miami's going to try to establish a run. I think they're going to stop that early. Then I don't think Moore is the guy to get it done. But again, even if somehow Miami is clicking offensively, I don't think their defense will be able to contain Pittsburgh enough for the Dolphins to have a chance to win. And I depending on the number of touches, Ajayi might get 100 yards, but there's no way he approaches 200 again.
Yeah, this would have to be the three of them's first playoff game together because it's Le'Veon Bell's first playoff game. His rookie year,
that's
the
right.
Steelers
yep.
didn't make playoffs, and then the last two, he was hurt. So, absolutely. Mr. Lasky, while he just mentioned that Jay Ajayi might be able to, depending on workload, get 100 total yards against Pittsburgh, does that make him an attractive fantasy option this week, given that odds are you're not going to be able to use him past this week anyway?
Well, I think strictly based upon the weather being so cold, it will almost force both teams to run the ball a little bit more. Also, the fact that Matt Moore is starting, I wouldn't have a whole lot of great confidence in the passing game, which, again, would suggest more of a running game. So, yeah, I think early on, Ajayi is going to get his chances. So, yes, just based upon that fact alone, I think he sees enough touches that he's an attractive option, especially if you're playing in daily fantasy leagues. I would not be afraid to start him at all.
So, Matt Moore, okay. I said, never mind, I see it now. That Tannehill's not going to play. I wrote picks up yesterday, but I didn't. At that point, it wasn't official. Honestly, I was just making sure that I didn't miss something. No, they didn't announce it until earlier today. Although I wrote it up like I figured Matt Moore was going to start because I never thought Tannehill was going to play anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Nor do I necessarily think he should. You don't. Not with what they're paying him. You don't run him out there before he's ready and rip his knee up butt good. At least I wouldn't. And I don't really know that Matt Moore is that much worse than Tannehill anyway.
Agreed.
I heard Connor Cook, that's for sure. Sorry, Connor. Hate to throw you under the bus there, Connor, but yeah, more or less. Moore's probably started, what, 20 games, give or take, in his career?
Oh, I think so.
He's not. I mean, he could do worse.
The offense is
either
right.
Starter.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'd take him over Osweiler as well.
Yeah, I don't see Miami. I mean, how they managed to do that the first time kind of escapes me. But and Pittsburgh does have, you know, they have their issues. I don't know if Stephon Tuitt, even if he does play, he's probably not going to be close to 100%. So they have some trouble with that defensive front, which may open things up for Ajayi a little bit to be a little bit more effective on the ground. But the Miami defense is just in over their head. I mean, are you going to cover Antonio Brown with Byron Maxwell? Oh, yeah, that's going to work well. That's no problem. And they're on, I don't even know how many, they've lost both their starting safeties because Abdul-Qudus and Rashad Jones are both out for the season. So they're, I think Michael Thomas is starting at safety for him, which, well, yeah, once again, when you're running up against Pittsburgh passing game, that's good.
And isn't Rambo the other one or somebody?
Yeah, they're going to have to get one heck of a push up front and get it after Roethlisberger. He's just going to, and if you start cheating up to the line, he's going to go over the top. If you don't cheat up to the line, Le'Veon Bell's going to peel off 7 yards of pop all day long, and they'll just control the tempo. That's another game I think probably double digits. I think Pittsburgh is a 10-point favorite.
Yeah, I tend to agree. But as much as the Dolphin defense has improved lately also, let's not forget that the Steelers' offense, but they're going to be able to get a push that we're all possibly talking about Miami being able to get. I don't see it happening. I think Big Ben is just going to eat them up.
Yeah, and I think the general consensus seems to be for most folks, if there's a team that can get New England a run for their money on the AFC side, it's probably Pittsburgh, because Kansas City, they're the Rodney Dangerfield of this year's playoffs.
Yeah, what Kansas City's in? Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and, you know, if they wind up playing Pittsburgh next week, I mean, given what Pittsburgh did to them the first time they played,
I think Ben had 5 touchdown passes, if I remember.
Yeah, I think Kansas City will get that 3 points that they favor the home team by, and that'll be about the spread, even if that's even the spread. We could see a spread, you know, Kansas City +2, which essentially means that they're favoring Pittsburgh. It would be a good game. I'm not going to – and I think people underestimate Kansas City a little bit, but I don't think people are underestimating Miami much. They had a great year. I mean, I don't think you can argue with Adam Gase as being a leading contender for Coach of the Year. Not only to get them to the playoffs, but to turn things around the way they did, given the 1-4, you know, from 1-4 to 10-6 is pretty impressive.
Oh, exactly. Should be a lot of consideration.
Yeah, who was the other? I figure it would either be Adam Gase or Dan Quinn would probably be my coach of the year.
Right.
Yeah, I can see Quinn also.
No love for the hoodie? You don't think they'll give it to Belichick? Or, you know, no Tom Brady first 4 games?
It's happened enough already, okay?
Yeah.
Enough with the Belichick. Just enough. Give it to somebody who will never be able to win anything ever. I'll ask you this before we move on to the last game.
Hold on. Go back. What did you just say? Give it to somebody who what?
Give it somebody who hasn't won it a bunch of times.
Somebody who won't ever get
another award.
Then the choice is obvious. It's Jerry Jones.
There it is.
Hey, Jerry's a finalist for the Hall of Fame this year.
Yep.
I really hope Don Coryell gets into the Hall of Fame this year, because Don Coryell should be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. I'm sorry.
Can't argue
the
that.
The modern passing game in the NFL is filled with Air Coryell concepts. There isn't a team in the NFL that isn't running something in their offense that he invented to this day. And how long has he been out of football? I mean, a lot of spread concepts and stuff like that. That was Don Coryell.
Mm-hmm.
Those San Diego Superchargers with Dan Fouts and John Jefferson and Kellen Winslow, I loved that team. And those baby blues.
I know he didn't win a Super Bowl, and I don't care. He should be in the Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
But we shall see soon enough. If Terrell Owens gets in the Hall of Fame before Don Coryell, I'm going to be mad, which probably means it'll happen.
Need some Kurt Warner.
While we're on the subject of award-type stuff, before we go to our last game of the weekend, this is a fairly hotly contested hot take type of deal that's been going on, you know, on radio, online, TV, everywhere since the season ended, essentially. I will go to you first, Mr. Lasky. Who is your 2016 NFL MVP?
Well, yeah, I've been watching this, too. There's been a lot of debates, and I think because there's two guys involved in this debate from the same team, they kind of cancel each other out. And I'm talking about Dak Prescott and Ezekiel Elliott. It's a shame they both had tremendous years, but I think they're going to cancel each other out a little bit, and that's going to push the other guys up a little bit in the rankings. I don't see Aaron Rodgers getting another one. He had a tremendous year, finished on a heck of a roll. And I think with Tom Brady having that suspension and missing the first few games, even though he set a record for touchdowns compared to interception ratio, at the end of the day, especially with Julio Jones being hurt a little bit this year and without a true second wide receiver, Matt Ryan deserved this award because he brought that Atlanta Falcons team up major league high in depth compared to what everybody was forecasting.
I don't. There are probably three candidates in my mind this year that if any of the three win, I'm not going to have a problem with it, and Matt Ryan is one of them. Mr. Sperling, who is your 2016 NFL MVP?
Yeah, it's very close. I agree with everything that Todd mentioned, and you look at, obviously, the numbers are close. I would probably go with Matt Ryan as well, but Aaron Rodgers, right there, close behind him, you know, to rally that team, to run the table, as he talked about, and really started clicking again with Jordy Nelson, really with a ragtag running game. I mean, Montgomery stepped up finally, but with Eddie Lacy not contributing, Starks not really doing anything. A lot of it fell on Rodgers. Took a lot of heat, a lot of whatever controversy or stories about his family life and blah, blah, blah. And he played through it. Not only played through it, took the division. But I just for a lot of the reasons that Todd touched on, the year that Matt Ryan had, leading that team again to the two seed. So they're, in prime position. He got them there, just under 5,000 yards, I believe, passing. I go Ryan by a hair over Rodgers.
I have a vote for the Pro Football Writers of America MVP award. I'm voting for Aaron Rodgers. I would love to vote for a non-quarterback. I did vote for a non-quarterback last year. I voted for J.J. Watt. But this, I mean, what Rodgers did, especially over that last 6 weeks of the season after he said, yeah, I think we can win out, he put the Packers on his back and dragged them kicking and screaming into the playoffs. And it was just, and that's not taking anything away from Matt Ryan. I would have no qualm whatsoever with him winning MVP this year. And I would say he's probably the favorite narrowly over Rodgers. I just, as great as Brady's been this year, he missed four games that the other guys didn't miss. So I don't. And the Patriots were able to succeed without him. Go 3-1. So if you're going to talk about the most, if you want to say the most outstanding player, then I think Rodgers and Ryan would both have it based on numbers. And if you're going to say most valuable, well, the Patriots went 3-1 without Tom Brady. I'd like to see either the Packers or the Falcons go 3-1 without their starting quarterback. I don't think that's going to happen. Who's your defensive player of the year, Wally?
Even though he's cooled off of late, but he went on a stretch. I would probably still go Khalil Mack.
That is the correct answer.
Yeah, so he's kind of low-hanging fruit because that's the guy. But, yeah, it's he started out so slow. But, yeah, we've seen that happen before. But then was dominant for games. Or I think he had like a sack and a strip and a couple games in a row and all that. But I'm still thinking, I think that, I kind of touched on it. I don't think the Raiders are going to win, but I think if they have a chance to win, it'll be because of him having a few meetings with Brock Osweiler this week. So I would still go Khalil Mack.
68 tackles, 11 sacks, just his ability. I know there are guys that have more sacks, and I know Vic Beasley led the NFL in sacks and forced fumbles. Yay for him. He had a great year. That's not taking anything away from him. But Khalil Mack, he's just so good at everything he does. I mean, there is no weakness in his game. You're certainly not running the ball at Khalil Mack unless you like to lose yardage with regular. It's just he's the gold standard of defensive players in the NFL right now. Until J.J. Watt comes back at 100%, and I can see it, Khalil Mack is the best defensive player in football. That's not something that to me is really up for debate.
Well, and not to pat ourselves on the back, but I do recall that all three of us had that prediction at the start of the season.
Well, with J.J. nicked up, it was a pretty easy one to make. I figured it was really a two-horse race. And I think at the end of the year, I wouldn't be surprised if these guys finish 1-2. It's Khalil Mack, and I know his numbers were down. But if you watch football, Aaron Donald is just unbelievable. That he was able to have the numbers he did, considering that he was probably quadruple-teamed every play, he's an animal. Love me some Aaron Donald. Brings us to the last game, playoff game of Wild Card Weekend. It does not involve the Los Angeles Rams, surprisingly. I was stunned they didn't make the playoffs, truly. New York Giants at the Green Bay Packers. This is a movie we have seen before. In both 2007 and 2011, the Giants went to Lambeau Field in the playoffs and won. Wally, will they do it again?
I remember with it, Todd mentioned, just go back to that, our preseason predictions and things like that. And I was so close to picking the Giants to make it all the way to the Super Bowl. On a hunch, and then like, and now this plays out where both those years, yeah, they had to go to it. But I honestly think the Packers are playing too good right now, and they will be at home. I mean, these are different teams. I think the Giants secondary is a little banged up, but Rodgers is on such a roll. I think it's like his last seven games, 18 touchdowns, no interceptions. Even with Ty Montgomery as their running back, and however else they want to patchwork that together back there, I think I still like the Green Bay rushing attack better than the Giants. So I think the Packers pull this out.
Points to the Giants for finally realizing that maybe they should just go ahead and start Paul Perkins. I'm not saying he's a world beater. I'm saying he's the best they've got at running back, so you might as well give him the touches. What think you, Mr. Lasky? Is it going to be Big Blue or the Big Cheese?
I think it's also the Big Cheese. Like I said, it's been really, really cold up here in Minneapolis, and Green Bay was very close to our weather, like one day later. The weather pattern just seems to flow that way where they get the weather that we're getting for the most part. So I think it's going to be a bitterly cold game, and I think it's going to affect New York worse than it's going to as far as Green Bay is concerned. Green Bay is kind of used to it. I think they're going to be more prepared to play in that cold. They are called the frozen tundra of Lambeau Field for some reason. I think we all know what that is. I think they're going to be better prepared across the board for that kind of weather. And I expect that Aaron Rodgers is going to get a revenge factor of note because of what Wally stated earlier with the Giants going in there twice and winning. I think it's Aaron Rodgers' time.
I picked the Giants at Bleacher Report. I freely admit my reasons for doing so are not super scientific. For one, I had taken the favorite in every other game this weekend, and it's generally, they don't call it wild card weekend for nothing. And a lot of times we'll have at least one upset. Not every year, and it would not be a stunner if all four favorites won. But it just seems like more years than not, we have one, and I think the Giants are probably the best chance of pulling that upset special. This is the script for how the Giants win Super Bowls. Okay, you have to go into the playoffs as like a 10-win 5 seed. And you can't, or a 9-win division champion or some other similarly funky way of getting into the playoffs. The only thing that would have made it more Giants is if they lost to Washington in week 17, credit to the Giants. They come out, play. They did not play like a team that had nothing to play for against Washington. I don't know if they just wanted to knock a division rival out of the playoffs or what, but they came to play and left the Redskins with some rather interesting questions in the offseason. I can't argue anything either one of you guys said. I mean, Green Bay is as hot or hotter than any team in the National Football League right now. They're getting healthier, you know, whereas back 6 weeks ago or 7 weeks ago when they were 4-6. I mean, they had no run game to speak of at that point. At this point, Ty Montgomery's emerged a little bit as a viable option there. The secondary was chewed to pieces by injuries, and while it's still not great or a strength of the team or anything, they're healthier than they were. And Aaron Rodgers has been standing on his head. But that one, to me, has the makings of a very good – I'm not crazy about the watchability of the first three games of the weekend, but I do think that fourth one has a chance to be a really good one. And I think last I saw, the Packers were, I believe, 4.5-point favorites. Were I a betting man, I might take the Giants in the points because it wouldn't surprise me if a field goal decides that one. I think it's going to be a good game.
Yeah, I did a little piece for Fantasy Pros. As the experts, and you have to pick against the spread all the games. And while I pick, I do believe the Packers will win. I did take the Giants as far as my selection there. Just for exactly what you said, I think this is a game, you know, as hot as they've been and as well as Aaron Rodgers has played, the Giants' defense is still, it's too bad they don't have Pierre Paul. But, Olivier Vernon's been playing well, and it's, I think it's a field goal game. You know, I don't know that it's an end of the game field goal, it's tied or anything like that, but I think that the Giants will be able to stay that close. And especially as Todd has mentioned, if the weather does play a part, you know, that generally tends to keep the scoring down or at least keep the teams close. So, yeah, while I like the Packers to win, I definitely think that the Giants could cover.
Let me ask you this, Todd. If you're the Dallas Cowboys, who do you want to win this game? Who do you want to play the next week? Let's assume that Seattle has won. They're moving on, which means the Cowboys will play whoever wins, Giants, Packers. Who do you want if you're the Cowboys?
To be perfectly honest, and this is going to sound odd considering they lost to the Giants twice, I think they would prefer to play the Giants because – we've all seen Aaron Rodgers. When he gets hot, he can be unstoppable. And that is going to sit in the back of their mind. And they think that even though they lost twice to the Giants, they were close, that they're going to be able to beat the Giants. Whereas, like I said, if Aaron Rodgers gets hot, wow, good luck.
What do you think, Wally?
I was thinking pretty much the exact same thing that Todd said. I think that, again, those Giants games, yeah, they weren't blowouts by any means. And I believe it was the first one, the first week of the season or the second week of the season.
That was opening.
Yeah, Dak's first start. I mean, while he did look great in either game, and the pressure they're able to get seems to get to him a bit. But I still think, and for the same reason, I'd rather face – you know, you kind of touched on with the good Seattle or the bad Seattle, and it was kind of the good Russell Wilson or the bad Russell Wilson. That throws us right over to Eli because we've seen good Eli, bad Eli. And right now all we're seeing is really good Aaron Rodgers. And I think you'd rather roll the dice with a possible bad Eli than you would with a hot Aaron Rodgers.
I don't know that I can argue that. I mean, you could also throw in there that it's hard to beat a team three times in the same season.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it seems like more often than not when you see that divisional rival that would be playing for a third time. If there's one team that won the first two, that team has been beat twice. More often than not, figures out a way to win that third one. It's just there's too much familiarity. And that kind of levels the playing field. So that was set up. Let's see, if we get all four picks right, which stranger things have happened, we'd be looking at what? Patriots, Texans. Oh, that'll be a fun one.
over in the first quarter.
Yeah, Steelers, Chiefs would be a good game. And then on the other side of the bracket, we would have Cowboys, Packers. I'll get it eventually, watch. And Seahawks, Falcons. Not a bad divisional round of football.
Mm-mm, except for that Patriots game, but Patriots fan will love it.
Well, yeah. You'll be happy to know that with all the hours that I put in the month of December and through New Year's, leaving the store in hours and that sort of thing, work has been generous enough to give me both this weekend and next weekend totally off, and Minnesota liquor stores are closed on Sundays. I'll be able to see every playoff game.
Well,
there's a Christmas miracle.
There you go.
Or a big drinking town miracle. Either way, it's a miracle, and you get to see the games.
Mr. Sperlin, I will hand out a few more awards over this past last 7 or 8 minutes of the show. Offensive Rookie of the Year.
Again, this is kind of talking about the MVP talk. I think it comes down to, obviously, two guys from the same. And I'm going to throw a little love your way, Gary. Give it to the former Buckeye, Ezekiel Elliott. Although I think Dak is right up there for it. But the season he had, and I know you can say, oh, behind that offensive line, so what? He put up great numbers, looked great doing it. He's as much as a Spartan, it pains me to give it to the Buckeyes, you know, but after their game against Clemson, I know you're probably hurting a little bit. So I'm
thanks
throwing
for bringing
a little
that up,
love your way. I wasn't going to let it go. Hey, after what happened to my Spartans a couple years ago against Alabama, I had to throw something back somewhere.
Now you'd find a way to work that in or something. I can't argue with you. I mean, I wouldn't be apoplectic if Dak Prescott won, but I think it's going to wind up being Ezekiel Elliott. Defensive Rookie of the Year, Mr. Lasky.
Well, I love both players, and it actually comes down to Jalen Ramsey or Joey Bosa. And I think even though Bosa missed a few games, I think when he was on the field, I think overall he had a bigger impact. So by a slight margin, I will go with Joey Bosa. But he's also an Ohio State guy.
Yeah, man, Ohio State rookie sleep. Jalen Ramsey needs to learn how to think more and talk less. Because,
mm-hmm.
you know, he picked up a few stupid 15-yard penalties. Then the other day he's throwing Gus Bradley under the bus, talking about how the defense never changed scheme and they need to change plays. Rookies do not say those sorts of things publicly.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a good look for him. So, like I said, think more, talk less. Mr. Spurlin, comeback player of the year.
As soon as you said it, one name jumped to mind, but it's not like someone that was coming back from an injury. I'll say that the first name that jumped into my mind was DeMarco Murray, just because he's just kind of in purgatory. Had a really down year, but I know generally it comes to somebody that was injured that has come back. Even at some point, you could even almost say Matt Ryan in there for the season he had last year and the season he's put up.
Matt Ryan, are you going to win MVP maybe? Matt Ryan can leave the little minor awards alone. Just let other people win, though. That's why I think I guess it's also a possibility you could see maybe Dak Prescott win Rookie of the Year because Ezekiel Elliott won Offensive Player of the Year.
Yeah, I can see that.
Because, you know, these guys all vote down. My vote for Comeback Player of the Year, I think, I'm going to think on it a little bit more, is probably Cameron Wake in Miami. 34 years old, torn Achilles. I think finished the year with 10.5 sacks, had like 8 of those sacks from week 7 or 8 on. It was just phenomenal over the second half of the season. I mean, on a per-snap basis, there wasn't a more effective defensive player in the National Football League over the second half of the season than Cameron Wake. And it would be nice to see that recognized. I don't know that you'll see it happen, though, because he's not really a high-profile. He's not a quarterback or whatever. So.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to give myself a little pat on the back here. If you recall, at the beginning of the year, I kind of picked a big surprise to finish in the top 5 in tight ends, Mr. Jimmy Graham.
Mm.
Yes, you did.
Yeah.
He came back. You know, that's another guy that could easily be comeback player. That's a good call, Todd.
Yeah.
He could. That would not be surprising at all. Okay, we'll finish up with something that all Browns fans are very curious about right now. Mr. Lasky, who's the number one pick in the 2017 NFL Draft? Well, they will have plenty of time to change this pick 17 times between now and April. But right now, today, who's the number one pick?
Well, right now, I mean, it's pretty easy to see Cleveland's got all kinds of needs, and wow, they're just hurting across the board. Would it surprise me if Cleveland traded it to acquire more picks? Not at all. And I actually think that is what's going to happen. I think Cleveland is going to trade and try and acquire more picks, believe it or not. But
you suck.
Cleveland does have
They probably will, but you suck.
Right. But as of right now, a lot of people are thinking that Myles Garrett, the defensive end from Texas A&M, is going to be a top 5, top 3, probably number 1 pick. And that's kind of the way I'm leaning myself. His quickness, his strength, his stamina all seem to jump out at the page. If you ever saw him play for Texas A&M,
He's a step and a half ahead of everybody, and he would be an immediate impact player.
They're talking They're talking about him running 4.5 at the combine in the 40 at 275 pounds.
Exactly, and that's why I'm saying that right now he would seem to be a lock if Cleveland keeps the pick, but I think they trade him.
All right, folks, that'll just about do it for another episode of the Fantasy Football Feeding Frenzy. Before we check out, Wally, give the folks one more reason why your Detroit Lions are going to win Saturday, whatever day.
Flu bug. Big flu bug hits the Seahawks. Or food poisoning. Eat somewhere. Team dinner somewhere. Team dinner with eating sushi from the gas station.
There you go, folks. Gas station, team sushi is going to do it. So you call your bookie because, I mean, it's a great call. Especially if you see the Seahawks all hanging out in front of a Sunoco, then you know that the Lions are going to win. We'll see you folks next week to talk some divisional round.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, folks.